For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the Potted Together podcast. My name is Adam and I'm joined, as always, by my beautiful co-host Becca and Nicole. Hello.
Hi.
This is, like, truth be told, this is the second time we're doing this because we had a chatty catch up that we're releasing as a bonus episode tomorrow. So while you're listening to this one won't have a catch up. We're just going to get right into the topic. But yeah, it feels weird doing it again while we're, like, on the same call.
But yeah, it's fun that now they get a bonus episode tomorrow.
Yeah. Our catch-up was just too long. Too good and too long.
Okay, so today's topic, we're talking about managing expectations when buying plants online. And at the end of this episode, we're also going to get into a few listener questions. We say this at the end of every episode, but I'll put it in the beginning. We have an email, so if you have any questions, personal or plant-wise, that you'd like, just email us, pottedtogetherpodcast@gmail.com, and we're going to try to tackle a few of those at the end of each episode, and today we're going to get to a few of them. So feel free to email us your questions, pictures of your plants, if you have questions about what's happening, just all the info. But yeah. So, the topic, managing your expectations are hard. They're hard because everyone has their own. And But I guess, how are we going to format this? Do we just want to talk about,
like, what each of us expects when we order a plant online, or maybe what we're looking for and what...
What does, like, a good order look like?
Finish.
Oh yeah, from start to finish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does a good order look like? What does a bad order look like? What to do if you have a bad experience?
Okay. You want to each just, like, tell a story?
Well, I was thinking of, like, okay, when you guys see plant websites, if you're like, okay, I'm opening up the computer, I'm feeling the itch that I need to buy a little plant friend. Are there specific ones that you immediately go to, or what's a red flag to you from someone selling a plant?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have opinions?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, if the shop has been recommended, like, being on social media for plants, like having a plant Instagram, following people who also have plant Instagrams is a really helpful way to find good shops. That's how I found 90% of the people that I've ordered from. So, you know, when the recommendation comes in, then you know it's probably going to be good. It's not a guarantee, but it's probably going to be good. So that's how I normally find places. So I'll look on their website. If they have, like, a good website, it's, like, professional, that's definitely a good sign because they've put time and effort into that, into their business. They've invested into their business in that way. So you can expect maybe, like, a higher level of service, right? You can sort of expect that we have a professional plant exchange going on. And the same with Etsy. You know, you want to find a seller who has lots of good reviews, who has, like, specific parameters, are saying where they're from. They're giving you an idea on how long it's going to take to ship. Maybe they have a specific day that they ship. You know, they just have an organized system in place, I think, is important, especially when you're brand new to this, because you want to order from people who know what they're doing, because you don't, and you want to trust that at least one of you knows, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like, the more transparent a shop is, the better with everything.
Yeah.
So, like, with a shop that you've not heard of, like maybe you came across a shop that you haven't really heard of, with reviews, how does that work with you guys? Because like I kind of ignore the outliers. I ignore like the top and the bottom reviews. I just like stick to the middle ones because those are the people who are logical to me.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this. I definitely look at the reviews, but what I try to focus more on is the communication that that person had with the seller, or like the rapport that they had together throughout the whole process, as opposed to it's a week later and my plant is dead, what the fuck reviews, you know, because there are going to be a lot of those, because sometimes, you know, people just don't know how to care for a plant, or they're a new plant parent. And, you know, of course you're going to be upset if your plant dies, but there's a million and one reasons why that could have happened. And it may not necessarily be the seller's fault. Now, obviously, you know, if the plant came with root rot or pests or something like that, then I'll pay attention to that. But yeah, I feel like it's more about the relationship and the communication with that person and the outcome of that I would search for in reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I'm looking at reviews, I always look and see if there's like a user error. Like they didn't like, oh, like Nicole said, oh, it took 12 days to get my plant and stuff like that. Like that's not really a review. That's just, they must not have read the description.
Post office issue.
Yeah, it's usually a post issue, and they maybe didn't read the description. Maybe the person only sends on certain days. So make sure that you're not taking those like user error reviews as like, oh, this shop is bad.
Yeah, because reviews as a business myself will make and break a company in a matter of just a few reviews. And it is really sad that, and some people can leave fake reviews. I mean, you just never know. So while it is definitely good to read reviews, you should take certain ones with a grain of salt and not let that be the number one reason why you should or shouldn't buy from that shop.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't think I've ever had like a plant horror story. Like, I don't think I've never ordered something online and had like it be terrible.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, have you guys experienced that?
I have. Yeah. Should we tell the story, or should we save that for that other episode?
Oh yeah, sorry. That's the other. We're gonna do an episode.
Oh yeah,
about
that's the other one.
Plant horror stories. So I guess like what I was trying to get to there is like, I've never really ordered plants online and had like my expectations as far. Maybe I have low expectations, but I've never really had them not get met because they were packaged nicely, and all of that stuff. But
I think I know where you're trying to go. Like what you expect down to the simple things when you're ordering a plant. Like,
yeah,
I would expect it to be packaged properly. Right. Mm-hmm. Like not just thrown in a box where there's no,
stuffing
fluff around it or whatever you're gonna stuffing. I don't know the word I'm looking for. So yeah, like stuff like that, like
soil's
what
not
expect.
Flying everywhere inside the box, which I mean it's gonna happen sometimes, but I mean if it's everywhere.
So okay, packaging wise, usually with shipping you hope for 2-day shipping. I mean that's just a seller should always do 2-day as quick as possible shipping. Like you don't throw it in the 7-day mail and expect the plant to be okay. You just can't do that. Unless it's an international order, then it will take longer, which brings a lot more risk. Mm-hmm. But 2-day shipping, you know, the plants, different companies have different ways of packaging. There's lots of different techniques. If you watch unboxing videos, you'll see a lot of different ones. But you want the plant to be adequately padded and also secured so it's not bouncing around in the box. You know, just as a rule of thumb, that's like a pretty good basis. If the company knows how to package well, and you can watch unboxing videos to see how other people have done it. Like the internet's like a great resource to like vet a company before you purchase from them, you know?
I was going to say that earlier too. It was like, chances are if you just search a company, plant company's name on YouTube, you'll find an unboxing video from someone and you can see.
Yeah.
But kind of shifting into that international order thing, like the managing expectations there, like you basically should expect your plants to arrive in like really bad shape because, I mean, not to be like, oh, they're all, it's awful, because it's like, I have plants from overseas and they're happy and healthy now, but it was a process. Because if companies are shipping plants legally, meaning they're doing the inspections and getting the phytosanitary certificates, those plants are like ripped out of their soil, cleaned off, dipped in really, really harsh chemicals because they want to make sure that like microscopic organisms, bugs, pests are not going to different parts of the world. So the chemicals literally kill everything. And then they're just like wrapped up and sent and like take a couple weeks to get to you. So usually the foliage of the plants is rough, right? I mean, is that what you guys have both experienced?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, yes. Nicole had a pretty bad experience. I have never had like a plant be like fully dead upon arrival, but they have been like in either really great shape or just like definitely needing a lot of TLC. And, you know, some of them didn't make it. So it's managing expectations with international orders is huge because you're kind of just throwing away that money. And if it works, it works. But if, and it's like really awesome, but if it doesn't work, like it's just the risk, the gamble.
Yeah. And this could be me totally speaking. I don't know for sure if this is true, but I think COVID had a lot to do with this whole like dipping the plants into these chemicals thing, because I ordered twice from the same company. Well, I didn't order them. They sent me plants for free. And the first time they did appear to be okay. I thought they may have just went through some frost damage. This was like January pre-COVID. And then middle of COVID, they came completely black. And they had a horrible smell to them. So I knew that something happened with the plants, like you said, Adam. So upon more research, the company reached out and said they were doing these like crazy inspections, sanitizing the plants and like all this different stuff. So there could be a chance that it doesn't go through that kind of a rigorous inspection and they could just pass it through customs. But the point is that you don't know. So like you really should just expect the worst. And it's, I feel like it's the biggest risk because when you're ordering plants from overseas, it's a lot of money. There's usually a minimum and it's usually a couple hundred dollars. You have to pay for a phytosanitary certificate and none of it's cheap. And you're pretty much risking your plants arriving dead to the point of not being able to save them. So I don't know. Ordering overseas, I don't have really any expectation. It's kind of just like a crapshoot for me.
Yeah.
And that's where I leave it with that.
Well,
I don't know.
I think,
I'm really, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I think that your situation was different than what it would be now, just because I think that wasn't that towards the beginning of COVID?
Yeah.
That's when they were, like, because your plants are always going to get dipped in these harsh chemicals regardless. That's what the phytosanitary certificate is saying. Like, okay, we've managed.
Oh, is
like,
it?
Yeah, but
okay.
With your plants, what they were doing at that time, because you know there were so many unknowns in the world at that point, but I think they were actually using a spray sanitizer on the boxes and then also maybe heat treating them, like putting them through like a heat treatment to kill anything, because at that point we weren't sure, like, oh, is it staying on surfaces very long? You remember all of that like confusion? We were like, don't touch anything.
Yeah,
like
yes.
People, we were sanitizing our groceries. So like, I think your situation, it did suck. And your plants, they were as black as that Thai constellation from Thrips.
I know.
But, but they usually just like arrive like in really poor condition and you just have to spend some time TLC, give them some TLC and, a lot of the times, maybe the leaves on them will not be alive for much longer, but you have like the stem. It's going to survive. It just takes a little bit of time. So,
Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's what a phytosanitary certificate was, that they're literally dipping them in chemicals. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They get like a chemical bath.
So, what do we think the purpose, is it to kill just insects? Like, is there any other way customs, if you work for customs, let us know. Is there any other way that that can happen, like, because there's clearly plants in these boxes, so they're like, yep, let's kill them and then send them off, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
I don't
just,
think there's another way. I mean, just
yeah,
sorry,
the delay.
Well,
no,
I was just gonna
bad.
Say because the mites that I have are they're just so microscopic, so I think like there's no other way to guarantee that something is pest free other than like dunking the whole thing into like a chemical to make sure mm-hmm. that it's killed, you know.
Yeah.
So with that, you know, that is why these plants that you can import for cheaper are normally so much more expensive when you can buy them stateside, because somebody's already gone through that risk for you. Someone already took that risk and brought them back from whatever stage they were in when they received them and now have them on the shelf. So, you know, for example, Jeff from Vintage Hill, he sells a lot of plants that he has imported and acclimated, but it takes, you know, I don't know how many months, but 6 months maybe, and that's a big risk for the nursery owner as well. So it's mm-hmm. I think it's important to support local nurseries who are doing that, because it makes our lives easier and it helps a small business, and you know, it you can get yeah, to have that sure. really awesome beautiful plant without all the risk of it dying on the way home. So, right. But buying plants online in general is very different from buying them in person. You know, I think there's a lot of people who will expect to pull a plant out of a box and for it to look exactly like it would on a shelf at a store. And that's just not the case mm-hmm. because leaves can get folded, leaves can get damaged. Things just can happen in the mail, and then the shop owner is not always liable for that. They'll probably have some sort of disclaimer. Sometimes they're nice and they'll replace the plant if something happens in the mail, but, you know, ultimately they're usually not liable for if UPS or USPS just mangles the box, you know. So manage your mm-hmm. expectations and don't expect the plant to look pristine, you know. Just expect for it to have a little bit
like the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great when it does end up like that. It usually does, but not all the time. So don't expect that and then get disappointed and leave a bad review.
Right.
Because that's unrealistic.
I guess another expectation of mine is anytime I order a plant online, I'm definitely expecting it to not have pests. And by pests, I mean not like, you know, a little spider hanging out in the box, because that could have gotten in there anyway. I mean like full-on mealybugs, spider mites, thrip, anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting that. Check your plants if you're a seller. Check your plants before you ship them. It can happen. I mean, you can miss something. You know, it can definitely happen, but that's definitely one of my expectations.
Yeah. Pest-free is important. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the roots. How do we expect the roots to not have root rot? Obviously, because if they're being packaged and shipped in a decent amount of time, then they should arrive to you, you know, root rot free, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good point. I had bought some philodendrons from NSE Tropicals, which is like a very well-known seller. Mm-hmm. But growing conditions in Florida are much different than growing conditions in the Midwest where I was. And so that's the thing, is like they came very saturated because, yeah, obviously Florida is just like humidity central. And I didn't like repot them right away. And root rot happened to me. I don't know if it happened before. I mean, I don't think it happened within the week that I had the plant. But in any case, like I think about that situation because I've still bought plants from them. They're beautiful plants. But you have such a humid environment that sometimes if your plant actually has a root rot, like it's still surviving because it has aerial roots that are like nourishing it, and it has all of, because there's just humidity is just like existing in life there. I don't know where that was going again. I just feel like my brain's all over the place, but you know, check your soil medium and possibly repot, you know?
Yeah, I would say repot pretty soon after, maybe not the day after. I usually leave mine to sit for like 2 or 3 days away from everything else as you would with bringing home any plant. I don't let it near other plants in my collection, just because if it does have a pest, I don't want it to like ruin my collection. But I'll repot it usually within a few days, because it's usually like a really peaty mix if it's in soil, or it's just in like spag. So you want to have it in something else, especially if you're trading among friends. I feel like when you're trading among friends, people will often wrap roots in spag and stuff like that. And it's fine for a few days, but probably should get it into soil and like check on the roots really well.
Yeah.
Also something that I just remembered. A lot of plant sellers will have a photo of a plant on their website, but that won't exactly be the plant that you get. This has gotten me so many times. Like, so many times. Let's manage our expectations, Becca. Like, okay, so I bought one of my favorite sellers, Tennessee Tropicals. They do this all the time. And, like, obviously you can't expect them to have a photo of every single plant in their inventory on their website. Like, that's just not going to happen. Sometimes on Etsy, that's a thing, because they'll have individual listings and then multiple photos within the listing. Like, then you can choose specifically which plant you want to get, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever. But they had a photo of like a really mature Philodendron gloriosum. And then the description box did say 4-inch pot, okay? But in my mind, I was like, 4-inch pot with that big leaf. And then I get the plant and it's like the size of a pothos leaf. And I was like, oh, well, like it was still fine. The plant was great. I love Tennessee Tropicals, but that is just something that you have to be aware of, you know, like look at the item description, see how big the pot is and manage your expectations from there. Like you can't,
right.
You know, they'll probably want to put a photo that's like really beautiful of the mature plant. So you know what it will be. It's probably more attractive, probably will sell better, but you have to read the fine print. Yeah, because they'll usually say,
and I feel like
the plant
if you
picture
have
is not what you're going to get.
Yeah, they do.
Right, right. Yeah, they do say that. But I also feel like if maybe it's a smaller shop and, you know, maybe they are selling mass quantities of a specific plant, or they have like a 10 of one plant, I feel like you can always just reach out to that seller, especially on Etsy. You can always just message them and be like, hey, can you like, you know, tell me if it's kind of close to this or whatever. You know, I don't think that that's overreaching. But with a big place like NSC Tropicals and those places, obviously, you have to know that you're not going to get the plant that's in the picture for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of switching gears, like if your expectations aren't met within reason, I guess, like what have or what do you think should be done?
I think it depends on the situation, obviously. I feel like if the seller has done everything they say in their listing that they're going to do, and it, you know, shipped in the amount of time the seller said it was going to ship, and there was no post office issues, and, you know, your plant makes it there in good condition and then maybe dies a week later, I don't think that there's anything that that seller should do about it. Even a couple days later, because I feel like as plant parents and buyers, we have to understand that plants do suffer some type of shock when they're being packaged and shipped. And even if the post office handled the plant with the utmost care, which we know is not happening, it's still in a box with zero light for days. So there's going to be some type of shock it's going to go through. And sometimes plants just don't come back from that. And that's something that, you know, we have to understand and just deal with. But on the other side of that, I feel like if it does arrive with a clear pest issue, not like one pest, but a clear pest issue or complete root rot in like, and they shipped it fast where you knew like this root rot couldn't have happened in this short amount of time type of thing, then yeah, maybe asking for a partial refund or a refund wouldn't be out of reach.
Yeah, I honestly have never had to ask for a refund or anything. I've never had a situation so bad. Well, actually, no, I have. And after I got called a Karen, I did get a refund. But
I remember that.
I'll share that story maybe next week whenever we talk about that. But it was definitely like, I feel like I'm very, very lenient and like very aware that plants just can suffer in the mail. So there's been several situations where maybe I could have, but I just didn't. That was one where I was like, no, this is unacceptable. You literally put this in a flimsy box and wrapped it in toilet paper and it broke.
Oh, gosh. Like,
this is not my fault. Anyway. So
story for another time.
Yeah, story Stay for another tuned. Time. Okay. But like, if the seller has clearly messed up, they didn't package it well and the plant has suffered, then yeah, I would definitely take a photo, ask for some sort of help, you know, like refund or whatever. There's been certain situations where a shop is non-responsive. They have a history of screwing people over. And you've probably heard of a few around on Instagram, and then you get a lot of people sharing on their stories, their experiences and stuff. I think that, like, in a situation where somebody is, like, very clearly screwing over a lot of people and not making steps to make it right, I feel like that's totally fair to blast them on the internet. I know that not everybody's going to agree with me on that, but, like, people's shops have been shut down because of that pressure. You know, like, Shopify... You can notify Shopify, you can notify whoever, you know, if that person is like truly not communicating with you, you know, if you get ghosted. I don't know. Also, if you like pay through PayPal, you can get it, you can dispute it, right? And then if you pay through PayPal goods and services, you can dispute it and get your money back if it is truly a heinous situation and they're not cooperating with you. I'd always suggest that. But just have like an insurance in your back pocket of like what to do if they're not going to be responsive and helpful with you. Yeah.
I've recently seen like this trend, and part of the recently seen it is because I'm not like always on Facebook and plant groups and stuff. But I've seen this thing of people saying like a PayPal backed trade. So. I don't know what that looks like. To me, I feel like it looks like if Becca and I decide to trade, and I'm sending her a plant worth like $70 and she's doing the same, then we just basically pay each other $70 on PayPal goods and services. And then it's backed. So if you skimp or send me like something that definitely was like not at all what we had discussed.
Yeah.
This is a weird situation as far as like this example, because Beck and I are friends. But if it was somebody I didn't know at all, like then it would be guaranteed somehow. I think that's how it works. At least that's what I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. Well, it's like using a condom, you know, even if you're on birth control, let's just have some double protection here. You know, you can never be too sure. Especially if you don't know each other. That's I think that's really smart. I feel like I would feel awkward. What?
Especially if you don't know each other. Yeah, I hope so.
No glove, no love, baby. I don't know.
Plants to prophylactics.
Yeah, like just protect yourself. Nicole, you missed it. Oh, did you hear that?
I just laughed through my whole pee experience.
Yeah, I feel like I would feel awkward like proposing that, but I would feel relieved if someone else proposed it. I'd be like, okay, good. Whew. Yeah, let's do that. Get out the rubber.
Oh, man.
Okay. When I said proposing that, I meant the plant insurance, not...
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm in a monogamous marriage.
That's right. Any other things you guys think we should touch on with this whole managing expectations and shopping online?
No. I honestly feel like that really was
size.
Matters.
Yeah.
Size maybe. Pictures can be deceiving. So I think we've talked about that before, but just like maybe if there's a little prop in there to let you know how big it is or whatever, but
that's helpful. Yeah. Well, measurements.
I guess you kind of said that about the philodendron too, the gloriosum too. Like, you know, you thought you were getting this big plant. Usually they'll tell you.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Read the fine print. That's the moral of the story. Read the fine print.
Yes.
Read the fine print.
Always read the fine print. And if it's too good to be true, chances are
it is.
It probably isn't. Is. How does that work?
It is. If it feels too good to be true, it definitely is too good to be true. Especially with plants. Oh, wait, I'll share that later. Okay, I keep coming up with, like, I'm going to have to write it down because I keep remembering situations where it's too good to be true.
Oh, you'll remember. It'll all come back to you.
Okay, should we open up the listener questions? Does anyone?
Do you
have that handy?
I got it. Nicole's Plant World asked, I know that Hoyas like bright light, so I put mine in a southwestern facing window. They didn't grow much, if at all. They ended up struggling. I moved them over to my kitchen sink so I could keep a better eye on them, and they started growing like crazy, but my kitchen window faces northeast, a little more on the north side of a compass. Why would northeast light be so much better than southwest light? There is zero obstruction in the back of the house, and there are trees in front of the house, northeast. I live in Texas, near Houston, which is zone 9A. These pictures were taken today, and it's very overcast thanks to the clouds left behind by Hurricane Nicholas. okay, in the pictures, they're kind of backlit. I mean, she pretty much has like 100 plants in her southwest window and then just moved like 5 of them to the northeast window, and the northeast window plants look much fuller than the other ones. I can't really tell by the pictures, but I feel like this also depends on when this happened, and if it was recent, was it in the middle of summer? Like, were they going through a dormancy period? I'm not quite sure if the lighting had everything to do with the lack of growth. You know, have you recently fertilized? I'm kind of reading and answering the question, I'm sorry, but let me know if you have anything to add to that. I'm wondering if the light's not
it might really the main issue take here. A second for the plant to, because she said that they said, I don't know,
I believe so, they
just said that they found out that putting Hoyas in high light is helpful, so they put the plant in the window and it didn't do anything, right?
In the southeast window.
Maybe they didn't wait long enough, because sometimes plants need a second to readjust to a new spot. That might be the case. You know, we don't have all the information here, but if you're in a situation like this, you know, you might want to wait. I always tell people, wait a couple months before you move a plant because it's not doing anything, because it might just need to acclimate to that new spot. And also think of each room in your house as a microclimate. So maybe that room had a draft. Maybe that room is slightly colder than the other parts of the house. You know, I don't know. It would probably be warmer than other parts of the house given the windows. But I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe it didn't have enough time to really make a difference. And maybe it needed more water than in a previous situation. So maybe it was not getting enough water. It was uptaking a lot of the moisture in the soil. And maybe you didn't adjust your watering. That could have been a part of it. There's so many factors that could contribute, but I'm not the resident Hoya lover. So, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, Adam, I would agree with you that, like, if you're in a southwest facing window in Texas, Houston, that window is going to put off some heat, which is basically acting like an all around heat map for your plant, which is going to dry it out faster, which means you're going to need to water more often. And yes, Hoyas do like bright light, but I don't have any Hoyas. I have no Hoyas in like a south window. They sun stress, which everyone finds beautiful, but that's the plant. That's the plant's anthocyanins that are using that to protect the leaves from being destroyed because it's getting too much light. Now, sun stressed Hoyas, I mean, people can argue about that. Yeah, they're beautiful, but like the reason they're presenting so many of those like intense colors is because the plant's like, well, crap, this light is really bright, like I need to put this anthocyanin in here to use as a sunblock to stop my chloroplasts from like exploding. So Hoyas in their natural habitat are usually in the jungles, like, and like all of that. So like my Hoya grow beautifully in an east window. They get morning sun and that's it, and then they get like dappled afternoon like indirect light, and then I have some grow lights, but I don't necessarily think there's facts to saying like Hoyas want the brightest light. Like, they're not a cactus.
Yeah,
they don't retain water like a cactus, so if you're giving them that kind of light, then you need to be giving them a lot of moisture
and
so that's my take on it.
Yeah, maybe pulled back from the window a bit more would bring you more success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true, especially given.
But if you're, she has them in the northeast window now and they're doing fine, then just leave them there. Like,
oh yeah,
like they'll be fine. Like, I can grow plants in my north windows, and especially being in Texas where you're a little lower on the whole latitude or longitude. I don't know which one I'm, but it's a little brighter there for you. The light stays a little longer than people in other parts of the United States. So.
Yeah. From the pictures, I can tell why it would be upsetting for her, though, because her southeast window is gigantic. It's like a triple double, like just huge space for her plants. And then the north one is like a little kitchen window. It's always a bummer when your plants do so much better in a small space. You can't fit them all in.
Well,
and then you have to like adjust.
There's ways to go about that. Like, you can just buy that like small little window frosting that still lets light in, but it doesn't make it as intense.
Yeah,
filters
that's
it
true.
Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sheer shades, like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. One more question and then we'll wrap it up. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Sure.
Okay. The next one is from Kara Beetson, and she asked how we all met our partners, and was it before or after your love for plants?
Fun.
And then she said, love from Kara. Yeah. So what do we think? Becca, let's go first. When did you meet Danny Boy?
Okay, I met Daniel in 2017. Just a weekend. I was out at a live music bar. If you're in the Tucson area, it was Club Congress, which is definitely one of my favorite places, even still.
Hey.
Yeah, we were there one night. I was there visiting, not visiting. I was there celebrating my friend's sister's birthday. And because it was, like, my friend's sister, I was like, do I have to go? Like, I don't really feel that. I was hungover, if I'm honest. I was like, oh, I don't really feel like going, but okay, fine. I'll just go for a couple hours. And, you know, we got there. We were getting our drinks. And then this guy comes up and starts wingmanning us. And he's like, hey, like, have you met my friend Daniel? And I was so unimpressed. I was like, okay, I don't know either of you. So that's a weird thing to say. And he was like, oh, anyway, this is Daniel. What's your guys' names? So that's how Daniel and I met. And yeah, we just ended up chatting the rest of the night, and we never stopped hanging out from that point on. And then...
So cute.
I was not into plants when I met him. I started to get into plants January 2018. So yeah, I hooked him in before, thank God.
All right, Adam, you want to go?
Yeah. Well, I don't have like I don't have specific stories, but Steve and I were friends for a while before anything like was officially romantic. But we met through a bathroom stall. They had like a little hole in the wall.
I was like, I haven't heard this version
of
the story.
Stupid. I was like, wait. I haven't heard this one.
Did you see how quickly I looked up?
Yeah, no.
I'm in a hole in the wall?
This is how I teach people not to ask personal questions. Just kidding. Just kidding. But yeah, we were both super into like home brewing beer, you know? Nerdy stuff. And so we formed a relationship about that. And then... eventually made it into like a romantic relationship, but I did not have plants when we first met, and we were away from each other for a while because he moved to Arizona before I did. So when I moved to Arizona, I brought 100 and some plants. So that was his first experience. Like with, but he's fine with them. Like, he'll tell people even when they come over, like, he likes the plants because he doesn't have to take care of them. Like, he enjoys the vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. And props to him, because when you meet someone and they don't have 100+ plants and then you move across the country to move in with them and they do, it's like, I don't know, that might be grounds for breakup in some relationships.
Yeah. Well, he was probably thinking about that when we were packing that U-Haul, and he was just like, what the hell have I
done? Oh my gosh.
Why do I need a separate U-Haul for the plants? Oh, Steve, bless his heart. Okay. So I met Jay through mutual friends of ours, and we just started hanging out. He did music then, so he was like producing music out of his basement studio, and I would just go over there and I'd be like, yeah, listen to all this hip hop, trying to be cool, you know, trying to get him to like me even more. And then like a year later, I'm like, yeah, I don't even listen to music. No, I'm just kidding. He was kind of like getting out of music, and we both got into photography the first year we were together. And that's, I don't know, that definitely grew our relationship. But we will be married 9 years next year, which is so exciting. Yeah, we just hit 8 years married.
Wow.
And I did not have any plants when we were together. I actually got into plants same time as Becca did. January 2018 is when I started my actual like collecting house plants. Mm-hmm. I had a few here and there, and Donkey Tail, OG, shout out to the Donkey Tail.
Mm-hmm.
A few survived, a few didn't. So when I started getting into plants, he was like, oh, okay. This kind of reminds me of my grandma's house. I'm kind of liking it. Like, it gave him like childhood vibes. So he was all about it. And again, same situation. He didn't have to care for them. So that's probably why he liked them more.
Yeah.
But
wait,
yeah, that's...
when you and Jay first met, mm-hmm. Where you had like beer tape to your hands? Were you doing Edward 40 hands at that party? That's like, maybe it was one of my other friends who like they met their partner at a party, and they had,
I cannot,
I don't know if
clinical.
You've heard of Edward.
No, yeah, that wasn't me.
Okay. Were you drinking a big beer? Like, was there something with beer? Because I just feel like I remember a beer.
Oh, yeah. We drank beer all the time. And we would drink 40s. So maybe that's you're thinking of if you saw a picture.
Maybe in my head I was just picturing you doing Edward 40 hands where you just had it taped.
No, we did. We did drink 40s all the time. It was kind of a thing. Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Thanks, Kara, for that question.
Yeah. And we need as to always, have you them... guys can email us. Sorry.
I was going to say, we need to have them on the podcast. That keeps getting requested.
Yeah.
It does. Put Becca your face.
What?
Oof.
When you.
Sorry.
I'm just so sick of this delay. Tired. Like, I keep interrupting you guys, even though, like, I'm not interrupting
it's
on
not
my
that,
end.
It's then, not that bad.
It's horrible.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay.
That one, your face was just really funny. Sorry.
Well, that's kind of a shorter episode because, like I said, our catch-up is going to be a bonus episode this week. But don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Potted Together on YouTube. We should have a video out, a propagation box video.
Right? That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
that's right. And submit questions to our email, pottedtogetherpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us individually on Instagram. I'm at notdude, K-N-O-T. We have Becca is at De La Plants. And Nicole is at My Clean Leaves. And I think that's all the housekeeping stuff.
Yeah.
Look for that catch-up episode, that bonus episode. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.